Well, it's been quite a morning this morning, and I haven't even got to preaching yet. Well, it really is. Well, I actually won't, I'm not feeling too energetic, so I say that now, but once that adrenaline and the anointing goes, it'll keep flowing. But I do want to just share a few things, and I won't keep you too long. I want us to continue with our fellowship over next door, over at Balsamic Lounge. But if you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 25. We're continuing with our theme. This month is spiritual family, and some amazing, exciting things actually coming out about spiritual family, even just practically, you know, just how people have been cared for, just the incredible things we've been seeing happening in the last weeks, and just fantastic, just absolutely awesome. And that's what it's about. You know, we're in this together, actually forever. Amen. We're going to spend eternity together, and it is about us really building that. But one aspect that I really felt strongly that God wanted me to begin to address and begin to encourage us in is about the power of assembling together. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, and let's just read that portion of Scripture. And we're going to read from verse 21, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are our teacher. And I just invite you to continue to lead us into truth, to open it up to us, Lord. I thank you that there is a spirit of wisdom and revelation in this house, in the knowledge of Christ. Lord, my prayer is that you really grace every single one of us this morning with a seeing eye and a hearing ear, that we might see and hear what you desire to unfold and reveal to us, and that the entrance of your word brings light, Lord. I thank you, Father, that every one of us leaves here today with a deposit from heaven in Jesus' name that continues to work and transform our lives. And everybody said, amen, amen. Assembling of the saints, of course, we've already covered what it is about, and we want to begin to unpack this. I did speak about the fact that many people feel that it is important, but surprisingly, a lot of believers believe it's not that important. You know, they kind of have the mentality, and I think I unpacked that sufficiently last time, that it's Jesus and me, you know, and really lose out on the incredible, profound, significant power and reality of the truth of what happens with us together as we journey together and the power of that. It is a lesson, and in this we want to actually look at why is it important. You know, one thing for me that's very, very important is that it's truth that unlocks our motivation in doing things in God. That it's not because of tradition, not because of religious practice, not because of obligation, not because of a sense of manipulation and control. And I find that the church has a lot of things that happen in church are birthed out of that, are motivated. Either it's tradition or it's religious practice and activities, or it's because of legalism, or sadly, it's because of a sense of obligation and because of a huge amount of manipulation and control that often is within the context of church. Where actually church should be the great place of freedom, amen? And really, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. And we will not again submit to a yoke of slavery. But here's the thing about freedom. True freedom means that we are released and empowered to do what actually brings forth life in our lives. You know? And one of those things is the gathering together, is the power of assembling of the saints. Why we come together? It's not because I feel obligated. It's not because, oh, it's Sunday and I do this religious thing. It's not because of any of that. If we're doing it out of those things, we miss the power and the life and the incredible strength that is unlocked, the impartation of heaven that is unlocked as a result of that truth. And so for me, it's important that as we approach the subject, and as we approach the subject of spiritual family, we don't divulge into what is often termed nowadays spiritual abuse. And there's a lot of books out there, there's a lot of stuff, and I've also preached a number of times on that subject. And on the fact that often we find that sort of abuse within the church because of a lack of understanding of why we do things, why we get together, and a lack of understanding of the levels of authority. Now, I'm not going to preach on the levels of authority today, but I do want to say it is very important for us to understand that in the levels of authority, that any spiritual leader out of the what Scripture defines as the eight levels of authority, that a preacher or a pastor or a spiritual leader only operates in the seventh level. That is the second lowest. You would think the way some spiritual leaders carry on, that they're just below God. The reality is that they are way below. In fact, there are other things in your life that carry a lot higher authority before a spiritual leader does. You know, of course, I can run through it very, very quickly because I think some of you are probably wondering, well, what are those eight? Okay, first of all, number one is God Himself. He's the highest level of authority. Number two is His Word. Okay, number three, amazing enough, on the third level, Scripture talks about the third level of authority in your life is your conscience. I have heard spiritual leaders say, no, you can't trust your conscience. Look, if your conscience does not conflict with God Himself, that means His character, His nature, His heart, His attitude, His personality, and does not conflict with the Word, then your conscience speaks at a higher level of authority than anything else. Amen? Now that I suddenly remembered the third, I can't remember what the fourth and fifth are. I do know this, that actually the fourth is then your own family. That's the fourth level. So if you're married, your spouse, do you know that she or he carries authority in your life? And God has given them to another. Your parents are actually at the fifth level of authority. You know? Now this, the amazing thing is that your family and personal culture, so long as it is in line with the Word of God, remember this is all under the Word, under God, under His Word, and so it continues down, is actually the sixth level. The seventh is then delegated authority, which of course is not only your spiritual leaders, but any delegated authority, civil leaders, all those different things, they fall under that category. Doesn't that change the picture a little bit? How many times does abuse happen in the church because of a lack of understanding of those levels of authority? Or abuse happen within society? You see, and the eighth is actually then your occupational or skill level of authority. You know, if you're a doctor, you carry authority in that particular field, etc., etc. Hopefully, if you're knowing what you're doing, okay? But I wanted to actually, I'm not unpacking that today, but I wanted to give that to you briefly as we approach this truth of gathering together, of assembling. It's not because it's our religious traditional thing. It's not because the spiritual leader says, you better be there on Sunday. You better be at this prayer meeting. You better be here. Oh, what's happening? If you're not, and many create that mentality and that feeling, if you're not, oh, you know, you're backsliding, or you're this, or you're that. That's manipulation. That's manipulation. But we want to come from the conviction of the reason why we don't want to miss the opportunity is because there is something so powerful, so significant that happens as we gather together. I mean, just think of already this morning, without even sitting down and hearing the Word, I don't know about you, but I have had a touch from heaven. During the worship, especially at the end, I just, oh, wow. And then the ministry and the prophetic words. We wouldn't have any of that if I wouldn't have experienced any of that if I wasn't here this morning. Then hearing the incredible truth about God giving me power to create wealth. That's a truth I could take and a promise. Yes, Lord, I'm going to believe it. I wouldn't have had that. And what that begins to feed in me. And then the whole story of what God is doing with Jason. And really, it's an extension of this body. It's an extension of the spiritual family. Amen? And you see, all of that I would have missed out on. And on top of that, my great preaching. Can you believe that? You know, but really, if you actually think about it, we have the opportunity to enjoy an incredible banquet laid on by the Lord from heaven. Amen? And all those who have prepared it, all those who serve, all those who have worked behind the scenes, all those who make this opportunity possible. And then I want to rather let other things distract me from it. You see, for me, it's almost like, I'll be honest with you. I can understand the challenges we face and circumstantially, but you see, I could never, I look at that and then getting together with all of you and connecting and wow, I think to myself, there's no way I can miss this. You see, and that's honestly my motivation. That's really, it's not just because I'm the pastor of this church. I'm here when I'm not preaching. Unless I'm traveling. But really, even when I was just a part of a church, which was many, many times in my life, where I wasn't in any form of leadership, I just loved getting together with the saints. There is something about it. I just loved, and I love it, and I continue to love it. After being in the ministry for 25 years, I still have not grown tired and weary of getting together with you guys. Amen? In fact, I just think to myself, can you imagine? It's going to be absolutely amazing in heaven. We're going to be together all the time for the rest of eternity. Woo! Bring on the party. Party time, amen? So, as we continue to unpack this, I want to just go back a little bit. What is to me very, very interesting is we take out verse 25 almost as an isolated verse. And many times when the subject has been tackled, that's what I tend to hear. I have seldom heard people preach it within the context of the previous verses. And to me, it's very important what's beginning to happen. There is actually an ascension. There is an ascension, and I believe it's the unlocking of heaven in our midst. There's an increase, there's a journey that actually culminates in the assembling of the saints, culminates in our together. And we actually begin to unpack that already in verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So it's talking about a heavenly experience. We're talking about encountering the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords in the most holy, intimate, closest place. So that's the context. The context is actually my personal encounter with God Himself. Having boldness to enter. That's the basis, and that's the context of the following verses. So you see, we put that in an individual thing, and we just relate it to our personal experience with the Lord. Failing to understand that the actual full manifestation of that experience is together. Is together. I don't know about you, but I find it a lot easier to enter in when I'm celebrating the King of Kings and Lord of Lords together than I do at home alone. I don't know about you, but here's the reason why. All of a sudden, God, the entering in and to the degree that we experience God is actually going to be influenced by those we do it with. By those we do it with. Now, that doesn't take away from your personal time. Don't misunderstand me, okay? I'm not saying that this replaces. No, this undergirds that. See, our time together here on a Sunday and what we encounter and experience needs to flow out in the rest of the week. It energizes me. I've come and experienced together corporately. I've had something that just exalts or catapults me into a place of intimacy, into a place of experiencing heaven, experiencing intimacy in Him. When I knelt down this morning, it felt like the Father was right here just wrapping His arms around me. But you see, my ability to enter like that was because of our worship together. You see, having great boldness to enter. Having great boldness to enter. By a new and living way, which He consecrated for us through the veil, that is His flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God. Notice the context. The house of God. So the context of this whole journey into the holiest of holies, this journey is actually a journey together as the house of God. And here we are. We're gathering in this facility. But the reality is we are the house. We are the house. We are the living stones fitly framed together. We are the ones that He's gathered together. We are the ones that He's joining. And I think the camp is going to be that experience, not just in a couple of hours, but for the whole weekend. Woo, bring it on, Lord. Amen. I mean, that's what excites me about something like this camp coming up. And that's what has blessed me about the overwhelming response of how many are coming. I've just been so encouraged by that. And I know we are going to have a blast. We are going to have an encounter with heaven and an encounter with each other that I honestly believe is going to catapult us as a people to a whole nother place. Amen? To a whole nother place. I think, can we expect that? Who's going to give me an amen on that? Huh? I mean, yeah, absolutely. You know, that's just... So as we continued, we see this, the house of God. And then he goes on to say, and now he says, now he's building up to the assembling. And the first thing he says, let not me draw near, let us draw near. Isn't that amazing about the corporate language that's used, that the writer of Hebrews begins to unpack? Really, it's the Holy Spirit. It's God himself saying to us, let us draw near, let us draw near. And what does he say? In a heart of full assurance of faith. What is he saying is, as you gather together, know that every single one of you belong in this place of intimate encounter with God. And draw near with full assurance, knowing that your hearts are sprinkled clean. And I love that what Jason referred to, that guilty evil. That's the evil conscience, the conscience that condemns you. Having a heart sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. You see, not by your works, not by how well you did this week or not, but purely by the blood of the Lamb, by the blood of Jesus. And the fact that every one of us in this room have struggled with the same things. We've all struggled this week. We've all fallen this week. You know, well, maybe not Olga. She's just an amazing saint of the Lord. You know, and I can say that because she has the last years been such a big part of our lives, and you know, and she is an amazing woman, but I'm still trying to get there. But look, the bottom line is that every one of us have probably fallen this week. Am I right? So, you know, when you come in here on a Sunday morning and you don't feel like, oh, I'm the last one that really has any right to enter the presence of God, you know what the person next to you probably thinks the same? In fact, even the worship team who are leading us into the presence of God probably feeling the same, you know? The sound and lighting guys, like this morning, they had a bit of a challenge. I think we need to give them a big hand, you know? Wow. I mean, that they come in and think, oh, and then the frustrations, and keep that heart right and say, you know what, we're creating an atmosphere, we're creating a place, we're creating an environment for heaven itself to invade earth, for people to encounter nothing less than the very King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the very God of the universe. Wow. Let us draw near. Then he goes on to say in verse 23, let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. I loved what Trudy had on, I think, a few weeks ago. She had that confession. I actually prepared it, but we've run out of time. But we're going to start building a few more corporate confessions in. I want to do, there is something so powerful. So let us draw near. Then let us, but you know what? In actual fact, we have had a corporate confession this morning already. Our worship. When we began to declare, I exalt him. We exalt, we were confessing something. We were declaring something. We exalt you, Lord, regardless of how the week's been, regardless of what we're facing, regardless of how I feel, regardless of what's going on in my personal world. Right now, we're declaring, we're confessing, we're proclaiming that you are exalted, that you are worthy, that you are the King of Kings, that you are the Lord of Lords, that you are my salvation, that you are the glory and the lifter of my head, that you are my provider, that you are taking care of everything. Amen. We declare that into the heavenlies, much to the devil's disappointment. Amen? But to the glory of the King, let us hold fast to the confession. So we see, here we come, we draw near with confidence, and then we begin to proclaim together. And here's the interesting thing about corporate proclamation, is really it's the power of agreement. It's the prayer or petition or proclamation of agreement. And the Bible talks a lot about that. And that's the significant thing. You see, you will never have this amount of agreement in a place together on your own at home. You'll never have that. And here's the power of it, is at home, you might be incredibly spiritual, incredibly strong, and have an amazing capacity, a capacity that is big enough, as the Bible says, one of you might be so powerful and so strong in the things of the Spirit that you might put 1,000 to flight. But you know, all the enemy has to do is send 1,001. Hello? Any of you experienced maybe that one, you know, this week? He was standing strong and the thousand were fleeing and there was just that one more, you know? Well, that's why I come into this assembly this morning and can experience, you know what, I might have, you know, been standing strong and it might have been able to resist a thousand. But this morning as I walked in here, I could just let everything go. You know why? Because all of a sudden, it went from 1,000 to just one other person agreeing with me. Stand together. One puts 1,000 to flight. Two puts 10,000. Oh, God, I pass under. 10,000. Three, how many? Four, how many? Five, how many of us are here this morning? You can begin to understand the power of the assembling of the saints. You come into that environment. It's the same with our corporate prayer meetings. It's the same when we get together once a month for our men's. Us as men together, something begins to be unlocked. Wow. That can only be unlocked in that corporate. The last couple of men's meetings, we have seen a move of God. It has been profound. Deliverance and people being set free and callings restored and the purposes of heaven again being awakened. One of the words God gave us as a church, and I believe this is so significant, Jason, in light of guilty pleasure. One of the great words that the Lord said to us when we came to the city, he said, Sean, I'm going to build this differently. In the past, this is Trudy's and my 14th church plant as such. Well, it's not really a church plant. We took over from Peter and Denise. Thank you so much. And just that seed that was there, and we replanted. But you know, every other church, Trudy and I, have largely planted out of reaching the lost. And the Lord said to me right from the beginning, said, Sean, I want you to open up and make room for the scattered church, for the scattered sheep. And I'm going to gather them, those that are in debt, those that are depressed, those that are disgruntled, and those that are distressed. I called it the four D's. And he spoke to me out of the cave of Adullam, the story of David. As he gathered in the cave, David fled into the cave. What a time to gather an army, you know. He fled, hid in the cave, and God gathered 400, not 400 mighty champions. He gathered 400 that became mighty. You see, they had the potential, but they were in that state. They were depressed. The Bible says to him, and those that gathered to him were depressed, were distressed, were in debt, were disgruntled. The last group of people that you and I would probably build an historical army that changed the world. Wow. And the Lord said to me, Sean, I just want you to make room. Create a cave. Create a cave. And I'm going to begin to gather them. And out of them, they will become the mighty, mighty men and women of God that are going to change history. And already I just stand in awe of this little guilty pleasure project. And I suddenly look at that potential, and when Jason says to me, over 50%, you know, that's the known statistic. I want to tell you that in my personal experience, it's at least that amongst pastors alone. And I just think, oh, I'm getting goosebumps right now. I just think, what happens if we can restore that? You see, one of the things the Lord said to me, you see, who killed Jezebel? It wasn't Elijah. It was the very eunuchs that had their power removed. They were men that had been absolutely enslaved by that woman. And I see pornography as really the power behind it is that Jezebelic spirit that wants to literally strip especially men of their authority and power in God. But I tell you, it's going to be those very men that have been her slave that are now going to destroy. Like Jason, he was enslaved. I stand here as a testimony of the same thing. You know, I mean, being a surfer and growing up in that environment and that culture, you know, thank the Lord by his grace, I never slept with any woman before I got married to Trudy. But you know, that's one thing. as I said to, I'm ministering to the youth. In fact, at the conference, one of my sons in the Lord joined me, and he ran the youth conference at the conference in London, and spoke into those areas. And I came up and I shared with the youth, and I said to those young people, I said, you know, you might have lost, you know, you might still have your virginity, but you've lost your purity. And I said, you know what? Some of you might have lost your virginity, but God can restore your purity. Amen. You see, I might not have crossed that line, but I crossed that line in my heart and my mind a million times. Amen. And it robbed and stole the guilt and condemnation. I never had confidence to share the gospel with anybody, to preach to. And here I am today as a testimony. As a testimony that God can take the very slaves of sin and restore them. And as we gather together, that's what begins to be unlocked. You see, alone, that can never be unlocked. Never, ever. It's as we gather together. So let us come with full assurance of faith. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope. And then, I love this Hebrews, and we're going to finish up with that verse. Let us consider how to stir one another up. I've been stirred up by Jason this morning. I really have. I've been stirred up by the worship. I've been stirred up by the sound and tech guys that have come. I mean, I sent a little text to Al early this morning. Did you get my email? He sent back immediately. All done, prepared. PowerPoints, the works. Wow. I've been stirred up, you know, by their love and by their good works. And my time's actually up. And I was going to finish off with an amazing clip. But you know what? I'm going to hold that for next week. So that's a little expectation. You will love this clip. But I'm not going to show it today. I'm going to show it next week. So that's a little bait out there. But let's just stand together in the presence of God this morning as we close. And let us hold fast. Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. And let us consider one another. To stir one another up and let us assemble. And as you go out this week, I want you to stay connected with one another, encourage one another, and let's prepare ourselves to come together again next week and just experience with that expectation the download of heaven. Who can say an amen to that? Amen. Let's just pray. Father, we just thank you for your wonderful presence this morning. We thank you for the incredible grace here in this place. And Father, we thank you for this powerful truth. And Lord, I specifically just want to pray for those who maybe have struggled to see the significance and have battled to gather together and see the power of it. Father, I just pray that even if circumstantially it has been at times extremely difficult and hard, Lord, whatever the enemy has used to rob and steal them of what you have purposed and what you have deposited and what you want us to feast on at this banqueting table as we gather together, I thank you, Lord, that my prayer is that from today forth, the enemy will no longer rob and steal in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that it is truly a new day for every one of us. That as we leave here, that we can leave with that new sense of confidence, knowing that there is a new and living way, knowing that we have access to the holiest of holies, knowing that we can draw near together, knowing that we can hold to our confession, and knowing that you are faithful who promised. And Father, I just want to bless your people as we close. Just raise your hands to heaven, and I just want to bless you. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that I can bless every single person here, that they continue to abound and increase in the love and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that you cause them to experience your supernatural comfort, provision, strength, protection, and abundance this week in every area of their lives, physically, emotionally, financially, spiritually, and in every way, in Jesus' name. Lord, bless your people as they go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Abound in God in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Give the Lord a big hand of praise. What a wonderful, amazing God we serve. And